Today we have an entry from the Bone Chillers Bump Off series, and the title is Blowtorch at Psycho.com. Well, and who could resist with a title like that? Plus, being published in 1997, I thought for sure this would have some hilarious The Net kind of stuff going on. It has to, right? Some kind of plot that has something to do with computers skynetting us and blowing me up while I hold onto a chain link fence or something. I remember this kid I was friends with during that part of Terminator 2 was like, Sarah Connor is so strong, even when she's just a skeleton, she can still hold on to that fence. And I remember thinking that kid was a fucking idiot. I'm 100% sure he doesn't remember saying that, but I remember a lot of dumb shit I said as a kid and I'm still embarrassed about, and I kind of hope he still remembers that one. Because it was dumb, but also because if he remembers that as a low point, he's probably living a pretty good life. Anyway, Blowtorch at Psycho.com is part of the Bone Chillers series, and the one I picked because, well, the title and cover are pretty amazing. This book follows a kid who's writing a horror story for a story contest at his middle school, and he invents this guy called Blowtorch, who is, I guess, a murderer, although I think he only murdered one person, and he did it by throwing a hairdryer in the bathtub, so he's not exactly a ruthless killer. Maybe this is about as graphic as you can get in a kid's horror book. Basically, the story world starts encroaching on the real world for seemingly no reason. Possibly this is related to the kid having his 13th birthday and he was born on a leap year, and somehow that opens a portal to something. You know how portals are, they just show up. But there's no lightning that hits his computer, no toxic waste that splashes on his manuscript, nothing like that. It just sort of happens that his dad starts to resemble Blowtorch. The cups and plates at the kid's house are replaced with metal, round-edged dinnerware of the type they have in prisons. Basically, our world and Blowtorch's start to merge. The book pretty much sucks. I gotta be honest, it's kind of a sucky book. My favorite part is a quote when taken out of context. It smelled like garbage. It reminded me of my mom. I was like, Jesus Christ, that's weird. And kind of mean. But somehow not mean-spirited at the same time. But then I remembered that the kid's mom was a garbage woman, so I was like, oh, okay, this kid just doesn't has a bizarre sense of, you know, what his mom smells like and what's nostalgic and good, I guess. But, you know, I like to think of that quote out of context, somebody just flipping to it and being like, it smelled like garbage, it reminded me of my mom, and just dropped and left, you know, completely out there, just hanging out there, dangling. One thing that ends up in these bad knockoffs is a lot of extra stuff. Extra detail you don't need, but you make note of it because you wonder if it's going to come up later. Like when the kid's dresser in Welcome to the Dead House gets scratched. Is it going to come to life and heal the scratch? Is the dresser going to be replaced by another monster dresser, and will the absence of the scratch be some kind of clue? No. The dresser just gets scratched. It's a thing that happens in the story. In Blowtorch at Psycho.com, do I need to know that the kid's mom is a garbage woman? No. Do I need to know the specific inscription on the family's front doormat, which is in the book? No. Do I need to know that the tertiary character, who maybe appears for two pages, wears her retainer on a necklace so that when her mom asks if she wore her retainer, she can say yes without lying? Is this something anyone did in real life? I googled, and okay, it turns out I found a video of two ladies talking about this retainer thing. Probably they're about my age, and one of the ladies asked the other if retainer necklaces were a thing. Apparently, they were like the plastic case you keep your retainer in, but they had a neck strap on them. The second lady said no, they weren't a thing, but that they should have been because every kid threw their retainer in the cafeteria garbage. Then the lady who had a retainer case said, maybe it's an Argentina thing, which maybe, but I don't know. Then she said that her parents didn't want to buy her the official retainer case necklace, and she instead had a DIY version made with a Play-Doh tub, which sounds super stupid, but also like something someone would absolutely wear today. Anyway, I don't know. The kid writes a story in blowtorch@psycho.com about this monster man. The monster man comes to life. Then the kid tries to rewrite the story and destroy the disc it was stored on, and that doesn't work. So ultimately, what kills the monster man is exposing him to onions and beans and Swiss cheese, which they do by throwing beans at him, aerosolizing onions in the garbage disposal, and rubbing Swiss cheese all over the computer. Yeah, for some reason, that part happens to the computer and it works and like, whatever. So they can't destroy the story on the computer. They have to use the built-in weaknesses from the narrative, but also they use it on the computer, but also it doesn't cause the guy to go into anaphylactic shock. He turns into a big balloon, then is popped by a car antenna, shrinks and deflates like a balloon, and then is dead, I guess. What I'm finding out is that R.L. Stine is pretty good with logic. Most of his books do have some internal logic that seems fairly consistent throughout the book, whereas what I call these bump-offs tend to solve their problems by having the logic of the story be a little too flexible for my liking. It's not a satisfying way to tell a story. If you take something simple like Saw, two guys trapped in a room, forced to cut off a foot, how unsatisfying would it be if the end was them being found by one guy's wife who's like, oh shit, let me get you both out of here. But the whole time, we didn't know the wife was looking for them? Or if instead of sawing off a foot, they figured out who Jigsaw was, and that made Jigsaw super mad and he just stood up and shot them. Or, I don't know, it turns out the one guy has laser vision and can melt the chain around his foot? I think you have to have your setup, then adhere to the rules to tell a satisfying story. You can't just have Jason be an unstoppable killing machine, and then just make it so someone can beat him up. You can't really have Busta Rhymes tase Michael Myers in the testicles and expect people to be pleased with that as an ending. I mean, or, hot take, you can, because they did and why the fuck not? It is fairly believable that Busta Rhymes, circa 2002, could stand a fair chance in a fist fight against Michael Myers.
Goosebumps. Reader beware, you're in for a scare.